Welcome to the small batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour, NPR's podcast about what we're watching, reading, and listening to. I'm Stephen Thompson, a writer and editor with NPR Music, and I'm joined here by Glenn Weldon, who writes about books and comic books for NPR's website. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Stephen.
So David Lynch teased the possible return of Twin Peaks on social media, and now it is official. To mark the 25th anniversary of the show's final season on ABC, creators David Lynch and Mark Frost are resurrecting the series for a limited 9-episode run on Showtime in 2016. Now, Glenn, you are a Twin Peaks fan, correct?
I'm a super fan. If I were to dream that this would have happened, and I never would have dreamt, but it's happening, this is exactly how it needs to happen, because it is 9 episodes, very self-contained. All episodes are written by both Mark Frost and David Lynch, the co-creators of the series, and they're all going to be directed by David Lynch. That is important for a variety of reasons. Number one is we haven't had any output, significant output, from David Lynch since 2006, since Inland Empire.
And in that time, David Lynch also put out several, let's call them inscrutable albums in that time.
He's been doing that. He's also been making some video shorts, but I mean, that's too long to not hear from this guy. And you need both Mark Frost and David Lynch, because I always thought of David Lynch as the id of this show, the guy who just comes up with purely instinctive, random imagery. He trusts accidents, so he'll throw out the script at any given time, and he'll just do what's happening in the room, and it's very intuitive. And if you try to ask him on, like, a director's commentary, God forbid, because he doesn't know. He doesn't know where any of this stuff comes from. That makes for great images. It makes for very freaky films, but it doesn't make for great television if it's just him, because television demands structure, it demands consistency, it demands plotting, not his strong point. Mark Frost made his bones on Hill Street Blues, and that's his thing. Now, he's also gone on to write the Fantastic Four films. Leave that aside. But both of these guys together are what you need, and that's the mix that's happening here.
We are both Arrested Development fans.
Yep.
We were both very excited when they brought Arrested Development back. And then I think it's safe to say you and I were both a little disappointed with the fourth season of Arrested Development, which came back years after season three and had to be kind of cobbled together. Is there a part of you, and I'm sure there's a part of you, that is like, what if this just goes awry? What if this is horribly disappointing?
Well, I mean, we've seen what David Lynch does by himself with this particular world. He created Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, which was a prequel to the series.
A feature film.
A feature film. And again, it was David Lynch off by himself. Mark Frost was not involved in that. And without the constraints of 1990 network television practices, he kind of turned up the volume on all the very lurid, violent, exploitative aspects of the series, which were always there, but completely missed the humor, the lightness, the quirkiness. I hope, I trust that Mark Frost present will help bring some of that back in. Now, a big part of the effect that this series had in 1990 is because of what television looked like at the time.
Right.
Prestige television wasn't really a thing. The closest you got was something like Hill Street Blues, or these big, mammoth, bloated miniseries. Series like Winds of War or The Thornbirds.
But Hill Street Blues is just like a sturdy cop show.
It's not this weird, surreal, very dark image. I can remember how important it was that I was watching this incredibly creepy, weird, surreal stuff happening on the same network that the next night would bring me Urkel.
Sure.
It's very important. And because so much of what prestige television owes so much to Twin Peaks, it's going to be different. But I am really looking forward to it.
And it's also going to be on Showtime. So they will certainly, if they want to go lurid, they can. I mean, other Showtime prestige dramas have gone lurid.
Yeah. It's that mix. It's id and ego. It's Ernie and Bert. I always imagine Lynch as Ernie just kind of going, "Hey, Bert, why don't we make a kid eat some cream corn?" And Bert and Frost going, "Well, that doesn't mean anything. What's it mean?" And, "Well, I don't know what it means, but let's just do it. Oh, and how about this guy's the killer?"
"Oh, but Ernie, that's just a set dresser. He's not an actor. What are you doing?"
"I don't know, Bert." So that's the interplay that I imagine is happening. And you need both of them, but man, it's going to be good.
Now, this new run of the show picks up 25 years after season two left off.
Yep.
That is meaningful, that span of time.
Right. There is a thread introduced in the show saying, "I will see you again in 25 years. And certain scenes from the television series, certain scenes from the prequel film were set in the Black Lodge, in this mysterious red room, 25 years in the future, where we see Kyle MacLachlan looking nothing like Kyle MacLachlan looks now, but that's part of it. There's something there. But whether or not it'll be brought out and how much they're going to hit and how many of these actors are going to come back remains to be seen.
Well, yeah, it seems like you're doing a lot of the same thought process that people were doing when this show was on, which is you are trying to parse the intent, trying to figure out what the hell is going to happen. Are there unanswered questions you were hoping to see resolved, or are you just wanting to see when they crack open their skulls what pours out?
Well, it's important to know that when David Lynch and Mark Frost began this series, they wanted to create a mystery that would never be resolved. They thought of the mystery of who killed Laura Palmer as the way into the series, the way into this town. And that just doesn't understand, A, how television works, B, how audiences work, how mysteries work. Mm-hmm. We demanded answers, and the network forced them to provide those answers very, very quickly. According to the people who are watching it, not nearly quickly enough.
Right.
And then they just had no other place to go. I just read this oral history of Twin Peaks by Brad Dukes called Reflections. And in that book, you really see how much Mark Frost and David Lynch had checked out in the second season. Mm-hmm. A guy named by the name of Bob Engels kind of took over show running in a large way, and he would have these midnight calls with Lynch and Frost, and the through line of the series got lost. And so they kept piling mystery on top of mystery, tributaries on top of tributaries, until the very final episode of the season, of the second season, what turned out to be the finale of the show, is basically evil winning. And what they were doing there, they've said, is that they were desperately trying to get ABC to pick it up again. Mm. But ABC was having none of
well,
it.
Well, ratings were having none.
Were in the toilet, so they said absolutely not. So it kind of fits with some of David Lynch's darker worldview that would be the ending. But, I don't think it's all going to end in sweetness and light. But 9 episodes. A beginning, middle, and an end is a very important thing for this particular team to have before them.
Let's hope so. I mean, I remember David Lynch saying that the whole thing was dead as a doornail and never, ever, ever going to happen. So
yep.
Here we are.
Yeah, I wrote, when the series was canceled back in 1990, I wrote a 25-page crazy psychotic break type letter to ABC accusing them of not getting it. And it was done on landscape with all kinds of weird fonts because I wanted them to understand it. I wanted them to pick it out of the pile.
You cut letters out of TV advertisements.
Very, very close to that. I was not well. If I could go back in time and talk to that kid and say it's actually happening, he wouldn't believe it.
That's a separate small batch.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday on iTunes or from your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.